I call this special meeting of the Citizen Police Review Board to order. All members are in attendance with the exception of Catherine Grover, who has been excused. Have all members of the board had a chance to review today's agenda?
Yes.
Yes.
Are there any edits or comments to the agenda? Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved, Hackworth.
Is there a second?
Carlson, second.
All those in favor of approving the agenda for tonight, August 18th, 2021, special meeting of the Citizen Police Review Board, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? The agenda is approved unanimously. Moving on to our new business, the appeal regarding 2021-0001. Case number 2021-0001, an appeal filed by Lisa Jones, is set for review at tonight's meeting. While Lisa Jones filed a complaint against two police officers, one of the officers has since retired from the police department. Therefore, this board's review is limited to the complaint related to the officer who is still employed with the city. Pursuant to Section 2152 of the city's Code of Ordinances, the board shall not allow comments by the general public as part of its review. At this time, do any board members know any parties involved in the complaint?
Yes, I do know actually several parties involved in the complaint and have had business dealings with them, but I do not have any conflict of interest, and I just wanted to state it as fact for the record so that it wouldn't have any detrimental effect on this hearing.
Thank you, Ms. Carlson. The board must first determine if the board has jurisdiction to hear the appeal pursuant to the requirements set forth in the ordinances adopted by the City Council. To have jurisdiction, the complainant must have standing to file a complaint, the complaint must be timely filed, the complaint must allege sufficient facts, which, if true, would constitute an allegation of misconduct of a City of Columbia police officer, and the complainant must have filed the appeal in a timely manner. Have all members of the board reviewed the material, documentation, and records submitted by both the complainant and the police department and related ordinances, rules, and policies?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
At this time, I invite the board members to discuss the jurisdictional issues. Because I believe we have jurisdiction over this complaint.
I see no jurisdictional issues.
I'm sorry, would you guys say that you do think that we have jurisdiction?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just kind of confused about the sufficiency of the facts in which she alleged in the complaint itself. Because when she filed the complaint, it just asked us for a review. It didn't just give any type of specific facts stating why she was complaining. So I'm just kind of caught there. I mean, if it says that we have to look at the complaint itself and see that there are sufficient facts there, if you take a look at that complaint in which she filed, there's nothing there. Later on, through the interview, through her statement with Officer Anderson, then we come to find out what she's actually complaining about. But in that notion, if we're going to base it up on the complaint itself, then I would say that we don't have jurisdiction to review that.
Have any members of the board who've been on here for a longer period of time than I, have they ever experienced a similar situation where a complaint is somewhat vague in this nature?
More often than not, there's not a specific policy being listed in a complaint or even much of an actual, I guess you would call, a cause of action. We've had plenty of complaints in the past I can think of that, for the most part, the police would take the story down and then they'd apply the story to the policy manual and say, okay, it looks like there's a violation of this policy, and they investigate going forward under that.
Thank you.
I would assume that when a member from the general public makes a complaint, they're not going to scroll through Google and pick out exactly which policy it is that an officer may or may not have violated. given that, I also believe that the board does have jurisdiction over this complaint.
Yeah, looking at the context of the files we've been offered, I believe there is a complaint in front of us. But yeah, the initial complaint form was just simply a investigate this. We really have to rely upon the call from Internal Affairs to the complainant to really get what the complaint's about. But Internal Affairs did do that, and then since they carried forward as a complaint, I know I'm good with asserting jurisdiction.
Need a motion.
Dow moves that the board find that it does have jurisdiction to review the appeal.
I'll second that motion. Boykin.
And for this, Rose, should I do a roll vote or just voice?
I would prefer just so it's clear.
Okay. All right. So I'll go down the list and a roll vote. I need to pull it up so I can get everybody's actual name and alphabetical order. Mr. Boykin?
Yes.
Ms. Carlson?
Yes.
Ms. Dow?
Yes.
Mr. Fisher?
Yes.
Mr. Hackworth?
Aye.
Ms. Miller?
I have to say no, and just because of what I stated earlier.
And yeah. Ms. Miller.
No, go ahead.
And Mr. Pringle, aye. So 7-1, the board has found that it has jurisdiction over Ms. Jones' complaint. After its review of the records and documents submitted by the complainant and the police department and discussion by the board has determined that the board has jurisdiction to proceed. At this time, the board must determine whether or not the board requires any additional information before determining its recommendation. Board members will discuss their review of the records and documentation submitted by both the complainant and the police department without hearing from witnesses, the complainant, or the officers. At this time, the board members are invited to discuss whether they feel that the information provided is sufficient, whether additional investigation or witness statements are required, and by whom, and whether or not the case is appropriate for mediation.
Since I'm unfamiliar with this process, I honestly feel like we have sufficient evidence from statements that were taken, and I don't necessarily think that we need mediation.
I know my one question for Sergeant Alpers, typically we always get so much body cameras from so many officers. Why was there only the one for this?
I think the delay in reporting. Number one, there wasn't an arrest made, and there was just the report that was drawn up from Officer Yarnell, would be my assumption.
Okay. So just because there was no arrest or anything, just the typical, I guess, procedures for retaining body footage?
Correct. Okay. I believe there's just the one video in there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And former Sergeant Allen obviously wouldn't have had
a
body camera.
Yeah.
So
I don't have anything sitting in my mind right now that says I want to know this. So I think what we have is pretty thorough and sufficient to make a decision.
I would agree with that based on all the evidence that we've been provided with.
I agree with that, because all the questions I have, I know that I won't be getting answers for.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Unless there's a lot more discussion, I would actually make a motion to agree with the police chief's decision.
I'll second that. Alex Hackworth.
Okay. And going on with that second. So this vote is on whether, if no, the a motion saying the board agrees with the chief's decision that the complaint was unfounded. Mr. Boykin?
With the information given, I will agree.
Ms. Carlson?
Yes.
Ms. Dow?
Yes.
Mr. Fisher?
Yes.
Mr. Hackworth?
Aye.
Ms. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Pringle? Yes. So the motion passes unanimously. The board has agreed with the chief's decision that the complaint was unfounded. So with this motion passed, the appeal is completed. If there are there any policy or training recommendations from the board at this time related to the complaint?
So I just had one question upon watching the videos. And the reason I'm asking for board member feedback on this, just because it was difficult for me to make some things out given how dark it was at that time of night. But did we see the officer speaking to the off-duty officer while the video or sound was off?
Yes, it was muted.
It was muted, and while they were talking to the off-duty officer, so I wasn't able to find this in the police department policy, but it raised a question in
was policy number 447.
447.
Mm-hmm. B2 and B3.
Is that relating to body cam footage?
Correct.
I don't know the proper language, I'm pulling it up right now, but around citizens or residents or?
Yeah, what was that number again, Wayne?
447.
And then what subpart are you looking
at? I found B2, B3. And then also was looking at D1, which is the one about talking to other officers and having it muted during talking to other officers and off duty.
You said B2 and B3?
Yeah.
So the reason I bring that up is because it's my understanding if there's appropriate context that Sergeant Alvers might be able to give, if that's okay at this moment, I'd welcome that. But it's my understanding that there are some times where the officer needs to turn off the sound, depending on what matters are being discussed, especially when it's with other officers. But it's also my understanding that when they're communicating with, when there's any Columbia resident or you know, person contact, that the video stays on. And I'm not sure on what the policy is if it's a off-duty officer who's not acting in the capacity or as an agent of the city of Columbia at that moment.
And so policy D, it says communications with other police personnel without permission of this, these are why they should be turned off. Communications with other police personnel without permission of the chief of police, encounters with undercover officers or confidential informants are reasons why it should be muted or off, which personally I still don't agree with, but and then it says under B2, all contacts including recording telephone conversations made or received in the performance of official duties is what should be used. If possible and feasible for conditions, the officer may use the speakerphone option for the phone. And then 3 says if an officer fails to activate their body-worn camera, fails to record the entire contact, interrupts the recording, or experiences an equipment malfunction, the officer shall document in a blue team entry why a recording was not made, was interrupted or terminated prior to the end of the contact, or described the circumstances of the malfunction.
Okay, so I maybe this is a matter to discuss at another time. You know, it might require looking into case law or something like that to get a better context or working with the legal department. But I guess based on 447.3 sub d sub 1, I could see the argument that an off-duty officer is still technically police personnel, and therefore that would be a permissible use of restricting body cam footage. The question in my mind now is how, in what ways is an off-duty officer different than an on-duty officer under the umbrella term of police personnel?
My issue with that is that when you go into the interviews, It was clear that Officer Allen said that they were asking him questions about the case itself quickly. So if that was asking whether or not it was police related or not, it was asking about the investigation. He was a private citizen. It should have been recorded. And to me, I would think that would have solved this situation back in the beginning of the investigation if we had that information on recording.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't feel comfortable making a recommendation. I just wanted to bring that up as maybe something that we can address in future meetings, and then, but more so work with CPD to figure out the virtue of that and if there is a better practice going forward. That's really all I have on it.
I see what you're coming from, Alex, and it could use some clarification because the context we have in the file shows Sergeant Allen wasn't doing any investigating, but him also seeming to be a witness to the, well, even just a corroborative witness, it would have been nice to have him on tape. I think we can go forward trying to see if we can't clarify what that means, and just for guidance in future cases, if an off-duty officer has to show up because his wife's there.
And he was he had a vested interest of being there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The context, I think, it was clear, but it would be nice to clarify what exactly it means when an on-duty officer is talking to an off-duty officer at a scene.
Yeah. I there was also something else that popped in my mind, if the board is okay with me sharing that. It's somewhat of a recommendation, but again, I think it would be proper to go through proper channels and work with the police department on this. But Mr. Chair, based on what you said prior to the meeting, or at the very beginning of the meeting actually, how sometimes the complaints can be vague and it requires other context. To me, that sounds like we might want to look into the complaint form itself and see what further information we might be able to provide residents of Boone County or whoever wants to file, to let them know that, hey, it's important to provide specific alleged facts in case you want to appeal in the future, which then also raises the awareness of the appeal process in general.
Yes, I can definitely agree with that. And I know that most citizens are not gonna know specific codes. We don't even know, we're learning specific codes. But I would definitely like to see some type of form that is kind of user-friendlier. I don't know if that requires, check boxes or whatever, but I would definitely like to explore this issue just a little bit more and work with the law department and the police department of getting something like that done, just to kind of smooth that process
down. Yeah, because I have to, I'm kind of going out on a limb here, but given the occupation of the person who filed this complaint, they had a specific privilege of knowledge, knowing that they have a process to appeal and that there's a manner in going about their grievances, which is more than, what I would have known a year and a half ago before joining the board.
Yeah, I'm sure we could find the most common complaints investigated and make check boxes for those, and we can even put the...
Can I add something?
The number.
We've already started that process.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Yay.
We've started working on a new complaint form. I'll get with Melissa and Rose, and then we'll see how we want to move forward collaborating together. But I have a good example that I think can solve what Ms. Miller was talking about, some check boxes from an agency in Connecticut. And it's very specific check boxes and kind of gives an overview, but that's already in process.
Okay. And under the ordinance, they're not required to use a complaint form. Just be aware of that.
Thank you.
Well, is there any further policy debate related to the appeal? Hearing none at this time, is there a motion to adjourn tonight's special meeting of the Citizen Police Review Board?
Dal so moves.
I'll second, Cheryl.
All those in favor of adjourning tonight's special meeting of the Citizen Police Review Board, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? The ayes have it. Thank you all.